You know, before we get started, I need to share something with you, okay? again, you know, getting all this cool stuff from everybody, and I think that, you know, before we dive into our subject tonight, it kind of will be romantic since we're going to talk about romance, right? Dear tech support, last year, I upgraded from boyfriend 5.0 to husband 1.0. And I noticed a distinct slowdown in overall system performance, particularly in the flower and jewelry applications, which operated flawlessly under boyfriend 5.0. In addition, husband 1.0 uninstalled many other valuable programs, such as Romance 9.5 and Personal Attention 6.5, and then installed undesirable programs such as NBA 5.0, NFL 3.0, Golf Clubs 4.1. Conversation 8.0 no longer runs, and House Cleaning 2.6 simply crashes the system. Please note that I have tried running Nagging 5.3 to fix these problems, but to no avail. What can I do? And by the way, I got this from my mother-in-law. Signed, Desperate. Dear Desperate, please keep in mind, boyfriend 5.0 is an entertainment package, while husband 1.0 is an operating system. Please enter command, ithoughtyoulovedme.com, and try to download Tears 6.2, and don't forget to install the Guilt 3.0 update. If that application works as designed, husband 1.0 should then automatically run the applications Jewelry 2.0 and Flowers 3.5. However, remember that overuse of the above application can cause husband 1.0 to default to Grumpy Silence 2.5. Whatever you do, do not, under any circumstances, install Mother-in-Law 1.0. It runs a virus in the background that will eventually seize control of your entire system resources. In addition, please do not attempt to reinstall the Boyfriend 5.0, okay? These are unsupported applications and will crash Husband 1.0. In summary, Husband 1.0 is a great program, but it does have limited memory and cannot learn new applications quickly. You might consider buying additional software to improve memory and performance. We recommend Cooking 3.0 and Hot Lingerie 7.7. Good luck, tech support. So there you have it, right? Okay? That kind of fits into what I want to talk with you guys about tonight. When we get into this very interesting subject that oftentimes is, you know, especially within the church, people say, ooh, are we allowed to talk about that kind of stuff? Are we allowed to talk about things about like romance and intimacy and sexual intimacy? Let me read a couple things to you. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore the virgins love you. Draw me away, and we will run after you. And so he says, rightly do they love you. I am dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me a keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Tell me, O you whom I love, where you feed your flock, and where you make it rest at noon. For why should I be as one who veils herself? My flocks are your companions. If you do not know, O fairest among women, follow the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with gold, with chains of gold. We will make you ornaments of gold with studs of silver. And this continues on. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes. Behold, you are handsome, my beloved. Yes, pleasant. Also, our bed is green, and the beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. And it goes on to describe some things. Like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Like an apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down in his shade with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And then it goes on, and obviously this is out of the Song of Solomon, one of the least read books of the Bible. And he let me read a little more to you, because I want to give you a little bit of insight. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats. That was a good thing at that time, actually, but okay. Going down from Mount Gilead, your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep. Means they're white, okay, but there is something you'll get a kick out of. Which have come up from the washing. Every one which bears twins, and none is barren among them. In other words, you're not missing any teeth. Okay, that's a good thing. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory on which to hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of gazelles, which feed among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are fair, my love, and there's no spot on you or in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. Come with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Mount Hermon, from the lion's den and from the mountains and the leopards. You have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes, with one link of your necklace. How fair is your love, my sister, my spouse, which is better than wine is your... How much better than wine is your love and the scent of your perfumes and all the spices? Your lips, O my spouse, drip as honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A shut-up spring, a fountain sealed. So would you say that the Bible has a little bit to say about romance? And doesn't that sound like it's going to be something that's going to be an enjoyable thing? Have you ever heard that one read in a church before? Interesting. So is it okay if we talk about this stuff in church? Well, I would say that if it's in the Bible, we should definitely talk about it. The one thing that I do see is that if we're going to discuss and if we're going to talk about the things that make a marriage, romance is one that we certainly do not want to neglect. We don't want to, you know, leave that out. And so tonight we're going to talk about romance and intimacy, and subtitle, What Happened After the Honeymoon? Okay? Because I know that I've heard that one a million times, you know, where people will say, man, well, the honeymoon's over. We've all heard that statement. Probably some of us even used that sentence before, right? So the question is we're going to define a couple of terms, okay? So first of all, I want you to understand romance / intimacy. It doesn't just happen, okay? It is something that we have to work for. It is something that it's important enough that we pursue it. And I tell the men that I have an opportunity to talk to, romance is something you got to fight for. It is something worth fighting for, because that's what keeps the spark alive in a marriage. Once the spark goes out, can it be rekindled? Yes, but it's a hard thing to do. And so the spark is that part that makes marriage fun. And so I would encourage you that, you know, it doesn't just happen. It is created. And it has to be important enough to both of you to say, we want this, we desire it, we're willing to do whatever it takes to either keep it alive, or if it is dwindled down to just an ember, that you're willing to put forth the effort to rekindle it. And so, first of all, what is romance? Well, obviously it's going to be different for each person. But it is what we will call the fun, non-sexual things that exist between a husband and a wife, or between a young man and a young woman that are in the courtship process, okay? Now, these fun things can, if you will, can lead to intimacy, but it can be many things. That just kind of depends on you guys. It can be a walk on the beach, if you happen to like the beach. It can be, you know, sitting at the beach and watching a sunset. I know that that's stuff that my wife loves to do. So those are the kind of things that can be romantic to you. It might be something different. It might be, you know, a drive to the mountains. It might be, you know, taking a trip to Julian just to walk around. It can be, you know, a ride on the motorcycle. It could be dinner. It could be just the two of you sitting at, you know, Jack in the Box over a cup of coffee, looking across the table, just talking to each other. Just setting aside time to just say, I want to talk to you, and I want to hear what you have to say. It doesn't have to be expensive, but what it does is it has to be something that the two of you truly enjoy, that you set time aside to be together, that you're saying, this is what I want to do. And that can be romance. Something that is fun. It can be a trip to, it can be a trip to Costco. It can be a trip to Home Depot if the two of you are doing something together. Now, intimacy, well, before I move on, let me just say this. I often have men ask me, well, what about a movie? Well, listen, fellas, here's the deal. It can be. But if you take your wife to see Rambo, what is it, 20 now? I think it is. Not very romantic. And let me just tell you something. Our wives, our girls here that are here tonight, are relational. They like communication. And when you go to a movie, what happens? You sit down, she sits down, the two of you stare at a screen, and you sit there for 2 hours, even though you're together, but there's no communication that takes place. You see? So even though that can be, if you throw in maybe dinner afterwards or Starbucks afterwards or something like that, to where you do then spend some time investing in each other. So I don't always recommend movie as, if you will, a way to begin a romantic evening. It can be. But, you know, you got to choose your movies wisely too, right? Because, you know, watching Rambo is not actually a very romantic thing, or Terminator 3. And so intimacy, though, is sexual, or what leads to a sexual experience. Now, for a woman, it must include romance. It must be a component, if you will, of romance. And so what intimacy is everything leading up to and including sex between a husband and a wife. It's everything that is in the sexual aspect that is leading up to it. And here's the deal. For ladies, and understand, for a man and for a woman, intimacy is two different things. Same word, but two different interpretations of that word. For a woman, intimacy is everything that leads up to a sexual encounter. But do you know that a woman can be intimate and not have sex? In fact, oftentimes, they even though sex is something that they do enjoy, it's not what they live for. They live for intimacy. But for men, intimacy is sex. It is the actual sexual experience. That's what's intimacy. Why? Because for a man, that is the ultimate fulfillment of affirmation. So for a man, in the intimacy for a man, that's why most men, you know, don't invest a whole lot of time in intimacy or romance, because sex to them is intimacy. So it's not that we don't care about it, it's we don't know. And so very important, fellas, that you understand that your wife is very different from you. I think you've figured that out by now, all right? And so, very interesting. Affirmation is what we as men crave. And the actual part of sex or intimacy for a man is the greatest, if you will, single place where we receive affirmation. For a woman, it's relation. They are relational. So everything leading up to and can, but doesn't have to include sex, is intimacy for a woman because she's relational. This is why intimacy is so vitally important in the marriage. Because for men, it's affirmation. For the woman, it's relationship. And that's why it is so desperately wrong for a husband or a wife to withhold intimacy from their spouse for any length of time, if you will, because, ladies, you're not then fulfilling that part of your husband's need, which is affirmation. Men, if you're not investing, then you're not giving that relational aspect to your wife that she so desperately needs. So it is that place, then, intimacy is so very important that you want to make sure that you don't withhold that from your spouse, because then you're withholding that which God designed. And he left it pleasurable. I mean, when you look at all that God did in the garden, the curse that he laid down and all the consequences, the one thing he didn't touch was sex. Isn't that crazy? Because he knew, I'm not going to mess with that. We're going to leave that pleasurable, because if I don't, they won't have anything to do with each other, you see. And so the sexual aspect of the relationship, God left it, you know, left it alone. And so very, very important. Never, ever should a husband or a wife use sex as a tool of manipulation. Ever. Because that is misusing this amazing gift that God gave to us. Well, if you be nice to me for the rest of the day, we'll see what happens. And then at the end of the day, nope, you weren't nice enough to me, right? So, you know, that's manipulation. That's a tool of manipulation. Never, ever, you guys. It should be something that the two of you radically enjoy. It should be the spark of the marriage. Never a tool to be used as a manipulation or a tool of manipulation. So then, what happens? And now that we understand these things, what happens? Well, as you guys may remember, back in the book of Genesis, in chapter 2, and I'm just going to share with you guys a little bit. I mean, there's no place in the Bible that God says, here's a whole section on sexual intimacy, right? So I'm going to share my heart with you. And after 28 years of marriage, I think that I guess I'm somewhat qualified to speak on this particular issue. And so think about this for just a moment. Let's go back to what we learned in Genesis chapter 2. God designs the man. He makes him, remember, what are we made out of again? Dirt. That's why we have dirty minds. So just in case you guys were wondering that, okay? And secondly, God made us very practical, logical. We are problem solvers. We are thrill seekers. We, as you know, he gave one problem. Here you go. Here's the tree, the plant kingdom. Solve the problem. Name and categorize. Adam takes that on and does it. Okay, Adam, next project. He gives him the animal kingdom, names and categorizes the animals, solves the problem, right? Problem solver. Then what does God create next? The woman. God brings her to the man, and he has not been able to solve that problem yet. Interesting. But here's the deal. You must remember a few things about how God created us, right? We are problem solvers. We are thrill seekers. We are logical processors. We are fixers. As Adam fixed these different projects and went from box to box, as you guys have already, how many of you girls have seen that in your man since we talked about that? Isn't that crazy? It's fun, actually. And so we, as God gave Adam, he says, here's a problem. Adam says, you designed me to fix. You designed me to solve. I'm ready to solve this problem. Let's do it. And so then comes the woman. Now, this is very interesting. Adam solves all of these problems. But for the woman, you girls, amazingly enough, are kind of an unsolvable thing. So think about this for just a moment. He made you as women to be relational. We talked about this briefly when we were discussing this. Shopping. Shopping is relational for you ladies. You can make a day out of it, right? It's a fun thing to do. You can take a group of girls and let's all go together, right? You can window shop for stuff you don't need. Let's look at this. You're walking along. Let's look at the jewelry. See, and you'll look at all the jewelry. Let's look at this. For a woman, she can go into the mall looking for one thing or having an idea of what she wants, not come home with it, but come home with 10 other things that she didn't go looking for. Why? Because she's just taking in the experience. See, for us as men, it's a whole different ballgame. We don't shop, we hunt. Right? For us, typically as men, we know the size that we wear. We will find a place that we will shop it and hunt there until it goes out of business, right? We will walk in. We know what size we wear. I can walk over to this rack. I find my extra large. Bam, this is what I wear all the time. And away we go. So a man goes in with a problem to solve, an issue to conquer. That's why typically men don't like to go shopping with you girls. That's why it's so hard to get your man to go to the mall. Now, men, we can learn to do that. When you understand that it's important to your wife, you can say, I just want to be with you, so I'm going with you. I think I shared this with you guys on that Sunday morning when we talked about this. I can now go to the mall with my wife and my daughter. I can go with two girls. Stay the whole day. Window shop, stop and eat lunch. Get a Cinnabon. Okay? I can do all of this stuff. And the girls love it because I stay in a central location with the cell phone. This is a brilliant thing. Kit goes one direction, Mari goes another, and they call me. I need you to come over here. I'm going to try this outfit on. I need you to tell me how it looks. I'm on my way. And I can spend the whole day with the girls and not buy anything for myself. Now, that used to stress me out because I was thinking, I got a problem, it needs to be solved. See, typically, this is why it's so crazy for us as men. When you girls begin to talk to us, and we talked about this, we will stop you dead in your tracks and start telling you what to do to fix the problem. And you haven't asked us to do that, okay? You just want us to listen. We talked about that, gave you some rules for that. But why do I bring that up again? Here's the deal. You ladies, with all due respect, in the courtship process, when we were dating, with all due respect, you were a problem that needed to be solved. See, this is why I hear, so often I hear these ladies say, he's not the same guy that he used to be. He would sit and talk to me for hours on the phone. We used to just go and hang out and park and just talk for hours until the windows steamed up. What happened to him? Well, let me explain to you exactly what happened. In the beginning, in this, you know, if you will, that section of our relationship, see, men, we are hunters by nature. God designed us to be that way. See, men love to hunt. So we go out hunting. It's logical. It's a process. Ooh, I see tracks. There must be a deer around here somewhere. Right? Or whatever it is that we happen to be hunting. Uh-huh. The tracks go over here. We pick stuff up that we would normally never touch in real life, right? Feels warm. Must be close, right? See, why? Because we're looking for clues because we're hunting. It's a logical thing by which we process stuff. When we were in the courtship process, we were hunting. And you were the hunted. You were a problem. We needed to solve the problem. That's why we would spend so much time talking to you. We would ask questions. What's your favorite color? See, that's clue hunting. What do I need to do to catch this one? How do I need to bag my prey? You see what I'm saying? I'm saying this with respect. Listen, you'll see how it all comes together, okay? Don't tune me out, ladies. Go, it's so disrespectful. Okay, hang on, all right? Hang on. So, well, what's your favorite food? Well, I like Mexican. Ah, see, clue. I'm on the hunt. See, you girls were a mystery. We couldn't figure you out. You were like, you know, the little doe that is out in the bushes somewhere. I know it's out there. I got to find it. So you were like that little bunny that was, where is it? I know it's there somewhere. I can see the tracks. We would spend hours talking to you because it was a part of the process. We were logically going through the process of trying to figure out what makes you tick. And just when we think we got you figured out, you do something different. You jive, you jig, you were on the move, right? Well, you know, today I want to change my creamer in my coffee. Oh, but I thought you liked French vanilla. See, us men, we take French vanilla for life. See? And so for you girls, it's, you know, you're moving, and so we're on the hunt, we're trying to find you, that we call you up. So what are you doing tonight? I don't know, what are you doing? Well, I thought we could get together and talk. What do you want to talk about? I don't know, just want to let's go clothes shopping. See, we want to find out what size you wear, what size shoes you wear, what kind of shoes do you like, what kind of things do you like, what colors do you wear? That was all a part of the hunt. Do you understand? So what happened on the wedding night? We bagged our prey. Seriously. What happened on the night of the honeymoon, we got you. But here's what happened. We bagged you, we stuffed you, we mounted you, and we put you up on the fireplace mantle. There's my trophy. There she is. Challenge has been met. Challenge is over. In all seriousness, challenge is done, challenge is over. Typically then men move on to the next challenge. What is the next challenge? Typically it's work. Typically it's the challenges that are at work. We look for the next place that will bring affirmation. Think this through too, ladies. In the beginning, during that phase of the courtship process, you loaded and lauded affirmation on us. You're so amazing. I just love to talk to you. You're just awesome. I just love to spend time with you. What happened after the honeymoon? It all stopped. Why? Because you're bagged, you're mounted, you're stuffed, you're put up on the fireplace mantle, and we've moved on to the next project that needs to be solved. We've looked for the next way to get affirmation. And this is an amazing thing. All of these take place after the honeymoon. Now, several problems arise from that particular situation. Let me tell you a few of them. First of all, what happens is that most women think that if there's anything romantic that needs to take place within the marriage, men are supposed to do that. Where did that come from? It came from the courtship process. When we were very romantic, we were doing all those communicative things. We were doing all the stuff that you enjoyed. So we were the initiators of most of the romance in the courtship process, which then means that if romance is going to take place, we're supposed to do it. You want me to tell you how I know that? February comes around, and I say, well, sweetheart banquet is coming up, and I will watch all the women look at their husband. So are you going to initiate this? Where did that come from? Is it for the men to initiate all the romance? As a faulty thinking that came from the courtship process. We're going to correct that. Another problem that took place out of that particular, another faulty thing, I guess I would say, that arises out of that courtship process is, for us as men, we did most of, the hunting and the initiation of all the romance. But then another faulty thing is men look for the next challenge. We think that once we've bagged our trophy, that the challenge is over. Faulty thinking. So we move on to the next challenge. We start investing in work. We start investing in projects, hobbies, sports, things of that nature that bring a challenge to our life. And that bring us affirmation, especially if it stops at home. So we move on. And most of us men, think about it, what we do are problem solving. If you sit down and think about what each one of you guys do, you know, as I look at Bob, he's a plumber, he walks into a situation, there's a problem. I need to get water to this place and gas to that place. I need to fix this broken thing. And with Joel, he's a finance guy. Right now, Joel is trying to keep people sane because they can't retire next year like they thought they were going to. And I look over at Toby. You know, he works for Homeland Security. The guy is solving problems on a daily basis. Each one of you, right? You solve problems. And so for us as men, we love the challenge. We love that thrill. That's what we live for. But we stop looking at our spouse as the challenge that she needs to be. You see? Faulty thinking. We need to correct that also, and we will. Another problem that arises is this. And this probably is one of the more subtle ones. You ladies grow content or satisfied, bagged, stuffed, and mounted, and sitting on the fireplace mantle. You complain about it, right? You complain, where's the romance? This is not fun. What's this all about? You complain about it, but in all reality, you've become content, bagged, stuffed, and mounted. So much so that oftentimes, many times, it can happen that for many women, you stop even trying to do anything. So you go from, having makeup on when your husband comes home to, sweatpants and curlers, right? You go from, all of a sudden you're taking care of yourself, you don't care anymore. See, that's a dissatisfied wife who's on the mantle and she's not happy about it. And that is a problem. When you stop taking care of, when you stop thinking about more about, yourself than just being satisfied with, well, I guess this is what it is, this is all I get. Faulty thinking. And that needs to be corrected, and we'll correct that tonight too. So, what is the solution then? You know, when a woman feels like so helpless, she becomes complacent, she stops trying. What is the solution to these several problems that we see? Well, let me just share something with you. Ladies, get crazy. Go nuts. Not ballistic. There's a difference between crazy and ballistic, okay? Go crazy. What do I mean by that? Get off the shelf. Get down from the shelf. You don't belong on the shelf. Do not be satisfied being a shelf dweller. So what does that mean? You have to come to the place where you're saying, you know what? I don't want to be on this shelf anymore. Think back with me. What were you doing in the courtship process? You were creative. You were a mystery. You did crazy stuff. You played hard to get. You did all of these interesting things that we're going, well, what's she up to? You were that little bunny that's boom, 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 running around. We're going, well, where'd she go? What's she doing? I can't figure this out. She just changed on me. What just happened here? So I want to encourage you, ladies, get off the shelf. It's very, very important. So what does that mean? How do you do just that? Well, you need to be very, very creative. You got to be mysterious. And I will tell you this. I give you permission to do it. Because here's the deal. Men, think this through with me. If your wife calls you up and says, what time are you coming home for dinner? Well, I don't know. I got to work late tonight. Challenge. Okay. Well, it'll be in the microwave for you then when you get home. Okay? Now, what's that all about, right? I'm satisfied. I'm up on the shelf. Your work is more important to you than I am. So I'll just comfortably sit here helplessly on the shelf. And that happens when we sink into that particular place. So, men, what would happen if your wife called you up and said, so what time are you coming home for dinner? Well, I don't know. I've got a late night tonight. Oh, really? Well, that's a bummer. Why? See? Whoa? Are you moving on me here? Well, here's the deal. I made reservations for us tonight to go out to eat, got the kids all taken care of. And I just thought you'd want, well, where are we going to go? Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not telling you. It's a surprise. Us as men are going, is the bunny moving? Is that bunny? Bung, 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 bung. Huh? Mystery? You mean you're hopping off the shelf? You're moving? Now, right away, for us as men, we're already looking at our watch thinking, well, this can wait till tomorrow. Because, see, you're doing something mysterious. You're doing something that we don't, you know, we can't figure you out. Well, I just thought, you know, you might want to know that. Well, I suppose I might be able to get off early. Now, let me throw this one at you, fellas. Because right now, many of you wives say, no, he wouldn't come home early. You don't know my husband. Yeah, I do. Oh, and by the way, I stopped by Victoria's Secret today, and I got something you might find interesting. I can tell you right now, the man's already got his hand on the gun. He's now loading up the shelves. There is not a man in this room that won't say, you know, my goodness, this stuff can wait till tomorrow. Now, I know that many of you girls are saying, you're so perverted. No, listen to me. We are perverted. Deal with that, okay? Think this through. We are visual. When God designed us, He designed us to be visual. Remember back in the garden, God brings Eve. He goes to sleep. He creates the woman. He brings her to Adam. Adam goes, oh, yeah. That's bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He looked at her. He saw her and he goes, that's more like it. He did not say, tell you what, Lord, leave her with me a few days. We'll talk. We'll spend some time together. I'll let you know. Right? No. See, for a woman, it's relational. For us as men, it's visual. Bam. Ladies, think this through with me. You and your husband have just had a disagreement, argument. Maybe it got a little heated. Both of you are now upset with each other. Okay? You go to the room. Your husband stays out till, you know, this amount of time where you both kind of cool off a little bit. But you're still closed up tight as a drum. He comes walking into the bedroom, and off in the distance, you're putting on your nightgown. He happens to see a little bit of your skin. Your husband has the ability to come walking up and say, so, what do you think? You know what he means. And you're saying, I can't believe you, sick pig. I'm upset with you. I can't even believe you would think something like that tonight. What is wrong with you? Don't you know that I'm upset, right? Has it happened to you, girls? Hello, be honest. Okay, all right. What happened? He saw you. We as men are like a light switch. You flip the switch, we turn on instantly. We turn on visually. Now, you girls are like irons. You flip the switch, it takes a while for you to warm up, right? Okay? So you're a little bit different, okay? So for you girls, if you throw that little thing in, by the way, you know, I just, you know, picked up something today I think you might like. Oh? You know, I'm on my way home right now, and I'm looking around at these men. The men are going, uh-huh, uh-huh. And you girls are thinking, but that's stupid. No, that's the spark. That's what makes this fun, you guys. It's okay. I give you permission. Read the book of Song of Solomon, right? You guys should be growing in that. This is how you keep the spark alive. This is how you make it fun. You got to be a mysterious. You know, got to take a risk. Well, but I'm afraid he might reject me. He won't reject you. But Rob, you understand, I've put on a lot of weight since I asked him. He don't care. He loves you the way that you are. You're the one that flips his switch. But you don't understand, I don't look good in that stuff. You do. I'm telling you, he'll be all right with it. Now, here's the challenge. Husband now, he's ready for the hunt. He's going to come home. Listen, ladies, you want your husband to eat out of the palm of your hands? You want communication? You want intimate talking for a whole evening? When he comes home, he's going to say, you know, Let's not go out. What did you buy today? Let me see. Oh, no. No touchy. We're going to dinner. Right? So you now go to dinner and he's going to be like a little puppy eating out of your hand for the whole evening. You name it. What do you want to do? Right? Well, let's go. Now, that part of this fun part of the spark, that's romance that leads to intimacy. That is the fun, you guys. That was what we used to do when we were in the courtship process. It doesn't have to end after the honeymoon. But we need to continue to be creative. So ladies, I want to encourage you, get off the fireplace mantle. Now, my wife, when, you know, if she says those kind of things, my first question is, did anybody see you there? I can hear it now. Oh, I can hear the rumor now. I saw the pastor's wife in Victoria's Secret. But do you understand? You guys, don't think of this as perverted. Don't think of it that, well, that's just using. No, that's keeping the spark alive. That's what was fun before. It needs to be fun now. Secondly, men, never be satisfied with your wife just being bagged and mounted and stuffed and mounted on the fireplace mantle. You go up and nudge her. It's okay for you to initiate, men. It's okay for you to call your wife and say, listen, you know what? I was just thinking, you know, why don't we go do something just the two of us? Oh, what are you thinking? Oh, no. That's a surprise. Oh, well, where are we going to go? No, I'm going to surprise. Well, and men, this is very, very important for a woman. What am I supposed to wear? So you say, don't you worry about that. I'll take care of that. You just take a shower. You be ready to go. When I come home, I'll lay it out for you. And you can throw in the Victoria's Secret drawer. So we can then initiate that. And then you be a mystery. You treat her to some mysterious thing to where you go out and you just plan an evening where you're saying, nah, we're not going to a movie. I want to talk to you. I just want you and I to sit across the table and talk. You see? And it can be anything. You guys don't have to spend tons of money to do this kind of stuff. And I would encourage you, if you have kids, start training them. You can train your sons and your daughters in this area. Several years ago, Mari, it was her birthday, and so I told the kids, let's plan a romantic evening. And my son kind of goes, Dad, this is kind of sick if you're including us in this. And I said, no, you need to understand. It's Mom's birthday. Let's do a mystery night. Now, the moment I said that, I watched my son, who's a male, go, mystery? Huh? We're on a hunt? All right, I'm good. My daughter just totally got into it. My son started going, what do we do? Right? He's a male. Give me instructions. Right? And so I said, I tell you what we'll do. And you remember that year we went up to Pine Hills Lodge, right? So I said, I'll call up to Pine Hills Lodge. I'll do dinner and a theater, right? Justin's going, well, what am I supposed to do? Kit says, I know. We have a lady here, Bridget Swanson. I don't know if you guys know her, but she's a masseuse here at the church. Amazing, okay? And we'll give her phone number out after the service tonight. And so Kit says, I want to get Mom a massage. She'll come to the house. And Justin's going, well, what should I do? And Christy says, get her a pedicure and a manicure. And then, you know, being a man, he says, all right, what do you think is the next question? How much does that cost? So we plan this whole mystery. Mari's trying to figure, well, and I'm telling you, my kids got into it. They loved it. That was a planning of a romantic evening. You see, you can train. Now, their stuff turned out great. The dinner was lousy and the theater was a bomb, but we had a great night, right? My part blew apart. But do you understand? This is how we can do this. Now, when it comes to intimacy, I know some of you are saying, but do you understand, Rob? I got a house full of kids. I understand this. You got to be creative. You know, there are times when you farm the kids out somewhere. right? And you plan an evening of romance that moves and morphs into intimacy. Because if you don't, you guys all know what it's like when all of a sudden little fingers come under the door. What are you guys doing in there, right? Not very romantic. So you got to move the kids to a different location or get crazy and you rent a hotel somewhere. You know, you guys rent a hotel and you say, come on, we're going. Now, sometimes when you have kids around the house, you have to be a little bit more creative. But don't give up. Don't just say, well, romance is out till the kids are gone. That's crazy. And this is why it's so important that you guys see, the Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled, meaning this is sacred, holy ground. That's why I encourage you, don't let your kids sleep with you on a regular basis, because that's for you and your wife. That's the place where this is holy ground for the two of you. It also means that whatever the two of you have agreed upon, if, you know, and understand, you know, within limits, if you're saying, I'm comfortable with that, and your wife is saying, I'm comfortable with that, that's holy ground. If you, the two of you are comfortable, it's not a defilement. As long as we're not talking about, you know, any sinful things, okay? You understand what I'm saying, okay? And so make that place a place that is holy ground. You might be, men be saying, well, I'm not sure what my wife likes. I've tried stuff. Well, have you ever asked her? Do you know that she knows? She knows what she enjoys. But you know what? Here's the thing. Because us as men, we're so busy trying to solve the problem, so busy trying to figure it out, we never ask. Ask her. She knows. And I know some of you ladies say, well, I can tell you right now, my husband won't do it. All the stuff you laid out, hey, my husband ain't into it. Really? Ask him. I can tell you right now, I'm looking at a bunch of smiling men right now. I know they're into it. Okay? And so ask each other. So what is it that gets you excited? Well, I don't know. You can tell them. Well, what gets you excited? Listen, men, you be creative. Let me ask you a question. Ladies, does the thought of a full body massage warm you up? I actually didn't expect a response, but since we got that... And it was like, 10 of you, hello, okay. You see, because for a woman, that's intimacy. For a woman, cuddling and massaging and, you know, all of those kind of things without pressure, that's intimate for a woman. For a man, it actually, as I shared earlier, it's the sexual part. So men, we have to show self-control to, if you will, bring our wife into that place of enjoying intimacy. And I can tell you, I don't know, I bet you there's not a woman in this room that would not love to have you give them a massage. They love that kind of stuff because, see, that's contact. Massages are relational. You see what I'm saying? And for a woman, they love that while you're talking to each other. That's the kind of things that your wife will totally enjoy. So be creative. Don't just throw in the towel. Too old for that stuff. Bull. Let me just tell you this. We have a friend who, before he passed on, in their 80s, they invited us to their house for dinner. We're watching these two like a couple of kids. At one point, she's walking past him. He reaches over and pinches her. Serious. He's in his 80s. She, ooh! I said, excuse me, I saw that. And he says, did you? Right? So you're never too old for romantic stuff. These two were like a couple of kids. They knew what romance was. They fought for it. They enjoyed that. The spark was still alive until the day that he died. And then I watched her take care of him like you would not believe. And so the spark doesn't have to end just because, well, I'm old. I'm, you know, in menopause or I'm, you know, whatever. Listen, the spark still can be a part of any relationship. It is something that's worth fighting for. It is something that I can tell you, if you like, you know, for the little bunnies that run around here, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, it's an amazing thing. So men, push them off the mantle. And I can tell you, now I know what some of you are saying, well, Pastor Rob, I can't believe this stuff that we're talking about tonight. Listen, it's okay. This, now you guys know why I didn't want to do this on a Sunday morning. I can imagine all these parents grabbing their kids going, oh, you don't want to hear this, little Susie or little Johnny, you know. I'm telling you, you know, Mari and I, 28 years, and I can tell you that we are having more fun now than we did in the early days of our marriage. We're having as much fun now as we did in the courtship process. And here's the deal. We got an empty nest. We don't have to go to hotels anymore. We got a whole four-bedroom hotel of our own. But you want me to tell you what I fear? When some couples that don't invest in romance now while their kids are around, all of a sudden, one by one, the kids start leaving. And when the kids are gone, if you haven't invested in romance, you will find yourself two strangers that you're sitting there going, well, what are we supposed to do? We know people that they couldn't stand it, so they go out and start doing foster care and stuff like that because they can't stand to be with each other. Not talking about Dave and Nikki, okay? Because I know everybody kind of goes, they moved away, okay? So that's not these guys. It's somebody that moved away. And Mari and I were talking, and said, so you guys got an empty nest? Nope. Their kids are grown and gone. Nope, we're not empty nester. She literally said, I couldn't stand it. So we went into foster care. We got kids around our house. So that tells me they did not invest in each other. She didn't find out what he likes. He didn't find out what she likes. They didn't do anything that they truly enjoyed together. Do you see? And so sometimes, you know, the beginning of romance, as we talked about today, we die to ourselves. There are times when I know I got to run down the hill, I got to go to Home Depot or whatever. Mari will say, hey, I'll go with you. And to me, that's the beginning of a romantic evening. There are times when I'll say, I got to go to Costco. Well, hang on. Let's figure this out. I'll go with you. You see, if I am willing to invest, she's then willing to invest back. You see what I'm saying? Even just yesterday, it was crazy, beautiful day, right? She goes, hey, let's take the motorcycle out and go to In-N-Out Burger. Okay. Let's go. Yeah. And that doesn't always mean that it ends in sex, guys. We got to get that out of our mind also. It can, but it doesn't have to always lead there because girls don't like being pressured either. I told Mari one time, you girls are so crazy. You know, for us as men, you're like a combination lock, and we finally figure out the combination, then you change the combination. That's what makes it fun. But you see, you can initiate, it can be anything that can initiate a romantic day. Fellas, go to the mall with your wife, I'm telling you. You will be sending her a message, you're important to me, I want to spend time with you because you're important to me. That then can lead to times of intimacy. But intimacy is sexual by nature, and that is something that we have to also invest in. And so romance is supposed to be fun. It is the spark. God made it pleasurable. And I can tell you that, you know, if we are willing to invest in this, it is a great thrill. You don't have to spend the twilight years, you know, falling asleep in front of the television set. It can be a time of great excitement. And so, from me to you, intimacy is worth fighting for. Mari and I realized long ago, you know what? We're going to be alone together someday. So we need to find out how to make this work now instead of waiting. If all of your life is invested only in what your kids are doing and not in anything for the two of you, fix that before your kids are gone. And you're sitting there going, okay, well, there's no ball games, and who are you anyway? And I don't know, who are you, you know? And you're sitting there trying to figure this whole thing out. It breaks my heart when I hear that couples have lost this spark. And it can happen so easily, you guys. You just kind of drift. We get busy. We just kind of don't make it a priority. Well, whatever, you know. If it happens once every 6 months, I guess that's it, you know. No. It needs to be fun. And especially other, I know many people say, well, we as Christians shouldn't be talking about that. If we aren't going to talk about it, where else are we going to figure this stuff out? If we aren't going to invest in that, and if we are going to be candidly frank with each other, what are you going to get it from? The world? And the garbage that is out there? No. Your marriage bed is undefiled. It's holy ground. Enjoy it. Does that make sense? Does that help? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this night. And I pray, God, for each of the marriages that are represented in this room, Lord. May you, God, stir us up. I pray, Lord, for new vision and new excitement and new thrills. That, Lord, that our marriages would reflect to the world that is out there. That we, as Christians, can have and do have fun. We're not a bunch of prudes. But, Lord, that we have, especially we as Christians, are enjoying intimacy and romance because we're free to have everything that you want it to be. And so, God, may you show us how to get there. And may we do so with your love and your excitement. In Jesus' name, amen.